Hello, everyone. Just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. We want to tell you that we're putting on a show in conjunction with the Everett Music Initiative up in Everett, Washington, at the Anchor Pub on April 20th. Yeah, that's right, 4/20. Awesome, right? You like how I just left a little space for you to just think about it just for a second? It's going to be a great show. The Young Evils are going to be there, as well as the Learning Team. So come on up, 4/20 at the Anchor Pub in Everett. All right, on with the show. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Can you get an STD from a polar bear?
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
The reason you're going to slap away every day.
This is episode 139.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
You killed it. You totally murdered it.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
Yes, nobody beats me in the kitchen. Where eating is involved. And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week, everybody. Hope you guys stick around for the whole thing, because Eddie Pepitone is making his triumphant return to the Air Raid Podcast. Very excited about that. We talk a bit about his new documentary that is making him famous, called The Bitter Buddha, amongst other things. And I also just completely embarrass myself with a very naive statement, which we'll talk about here shortly. Just thinking about it just makes me embarrassed. I don't even want to... God. We're also going to be featuring some music this week from a band that contacted me recently called Onslow, which is super, super good. So I hope you guys enjoy that as well. Oh, man. I hope you guys have had a good week. I have had, I don't know what's been going on. My daughter is not sleeping correctly. I'm not sleeping correctly. I don't know if it's just, you know, kind of the, oh, God, the daylight savings time, like, hangover. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. But ever since daylight savings time hit, what is it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? See, I can't even remember. My mind is that much jello right now. But ever since it hit, it's just been the sleep is just totally not working for me. And I've just been exhausted. Everybody. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but just super tired. I don't know what it is. Which reminds me right now as I say this that I wanted to look up the symptoms for mono because, you know, maybe. Who knows? I've never had mono before. Has anybody ever had mono? I'm sure there's one person in the 5,000 that are listening to it right now, to this right now, that have had mono. Why don't you email me, aaron@air-raid.net, so I don't have to, because I'm lazy. So I don't have to look it up for myself. Have you had mono before? I want to know. I want to hear about it. And maybe we should talk about it next time next week on the program. See, my mind is jello. My mind is jello right now. And I'm messing up everything. But what's different? Another thing that happened, let's see, I think this happened on Friday. I really blew up on somebody at work. And I was not proud of it. I've done it before and not been proud of it, but this was a guy that I've had a great working relationship with. This is my day job, of course. I don't do this podcast for my day job. But I am, for my day-to-day, I am in a position of what some might refer to as power. You know, not extreme power. I don't wield a Thor-like hammer or anything like that, people. But let's just say I'm in kind of a supervisory role, right? Managerial role. And I lost it. I lost it on a guy that I respect and admire, and felt really, really bad. And I don't know if that was just like the exhaustion that was playing into it, or what. But I really just lost it on this guy. And I went through my day just thinking about it. And I had to, at one point, pull my work truck over. And I had to call him and apologize profusely. And just explain to him what was, you know, he was like, well, what's going, you know, that's it's very unlike you. What's going on, man? Is there something the matter? And I'm not going to go into all the details, but you know, it's been a stressful week here in the Roden household, here in Dining Room Studios, in beautiful Seattle, Washington. It's been a stressful week, and part of it is due to lack of sleep. And I'm trying, folks. I'm really trying to I'm trying to get in bed on time. And but every time I lay down, my mind is it's still just going a mile a minute. There's a lot of shit, you know, a lot of shit happening. And I think part of it, and I'm sure that a lot of you do this as well, is once you get into, I don't know, you get into, I go through these peaks and valleys. I go through peaks and valleys from week to week, maybe, you know, month to month or so, where I'll be feeling really good. A lot of stuff's going on, you know. I like being busy. I like it when my time is fully occupied, because it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something, right? I like that. I like that feeling, especially when things are going really good on the podcast. You know, because this show is definitely a labor of love. I like to do it. I like having these people over to my home and like chatting with people. But sometimes there's lulls in, you know, in excitement about everything, and I get a little depressed. And God, I don't even know where I was going with this. But yeah. Anyway, it's stressful. It's stressful sometimes, right? Yeah. I totally just lost my train of thought. Let's switch the subject, shall we? Hey, we want to say a quick word before we start talking with Eddie Pepitone. Again, we want to say a quick word for us, for the Air Raid Podcast. If you like this show, and if you're listening to it right now, chances are you could swing either way. but if you do enjoy the show, please show us some support and go onto iTunes and rate and review the program. Also, you can check out our website, www.air-raid.net, if you're getting this elsewhere. And you can donate to us by pressing the donate button and, you know, pass a couple bucks our way. Or just buy a t-shirt or a poster. We've got these great t-shirts specifically screen printed for us. It's got this nice little silhouette of a dude, a cowboy, riding an H-bomb, and it says the Air Raid Podcast on it, on the nose of the bomb. It's really, really a cool shirt. So please go and check that out, www.air-raid.net. Yeah, and we could, you know, we could use those dollars. We could also use your reviews on iTunes or your star ratings. Only take you a couple seconds. So don't forget to do that. Plus, last plug, promise. Go to our archives page and you can check out the old episode with Eddie Pepitone. You can check out episodes with Macklemore. You can check out episodes with Bob Saget, John Roderick, David Bazan, Damian Gerardo. Man, a whole slew of great guests that we've had in the Dining Room Studios. What about Pete Holmes? He's got a new TV show that he just got signed up for. Guy's huge. He's great. Dana Gould, who's coming back to Seattle, by the way. I can't remember the date, but check your calendars if you live here in this fair city. But yeah, go to the archives page. Check out all the old episodes. I think you will enjoy it. Let's see. Let's get on with this, shall we? Man, Eddie Pepitone. I love talking with this guy. This is the second time that I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Mr. Pepitone, and he's just a wonderful fella. And we had a chance to talk about his new documentary, what it kind of felt like, you know, being followed around by cameras and everything like that. I mean, he's more neurotic than I am. I view myself as a pretty neurotic guy. Eddie Pepitone takes the cake, of course. And if you haven't seen this movie, I messed up before our chat. I thought I was going to have time to get a screener of the movie and check it out before we met up and started talking, but I did not. And so I didn't go into the interview with the or our chat totally prepared to talk about his whole film. But man, I had a chance to watch it afterwards, and it is fantastic. It's a really good documentary. It's called The Bitter Buddha. It's available on iTunes and a lot of different places, but that's the only one that comes to mind right now. So check that out. It's very, very a great, great documentary. Very well done. I think you guys will enjoy it. There's another thing later on that we start talking about. We start talking about paranoia, and I brought up what I have always seen as a big provider of paranoia in certain sects of American culture is television and movies. Constantly seeing movies and television with violence and people, you know, fighting off violence and fighting off thieves and crooks and bad men, right? Well, that stuff doesn't happen all the time, right? Doesn't happen all the time, and I think what people do is they watch too much of that stuff, and they get it in their minds that that is how the world works, right? They're equating this stuff that should only be used for entertainment value as some sort of reality. Well, I didn't convey that too well in our chat, and I felt really naive and very stupid, and I think you guys will hear this, and I'm embarrassed. This is what I was talking about when I introed the show, is that I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by what I said and how I said it. But just go to, you know, just know that what I meant was that it adds to the paranoia of people because they see television, these television shows like Law and Order and stuff like that, as their reality when it's not. They may live in small-town America. That stuff does not happen all the time. Yes, murders happen every day in a place like New York. But in a place where I grew up, like, you know, the Kitsap Peninsula, murders do not happen every day. And that is not the reality of these people, and that's not why people need guns, right? That's what the conversation's about, of course. Yeah, yeah, we talked about guns. God dang it. We always have to bring that up, right? Anyway, okay, well, on that note, let's play the apt song of the episode, shall we? This is from this band Onslow, which contacted me a little bit ago. They've got a new album out. Well, I guess it's not that all that new. It came out last year. It's called A Taste of Purple, and you can find it at onslow.bandcamp.com. That's O-N-S-L-O. I'm burping. Wow. Great intro to this episode, isn't it? You're all probably already fast-forwarded through this. This song is called Can You Beat Up a Murderer? And I think it's a rhetorical question aimed at me because, duh. Yes. Come on. Whatever. Can You Beat Up a Murderer by the band Onslow. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest Eddie Pepitone when we return. Stay with us. for not remembering who I was.
Well, you know what? And this is going to sound like bullshit and flattering, but you were about 5 pounds heavier when I saw you last time. And when you walked into the room, I was like, who is this wisp of a man? I said, somebody's been juicing.
Len,
I just told Aaron, listenership. I just call, I call a mob of people a listenership.
A listenership? That's pretty much what they are. They've been boiled down to that now.
I said, you could juice things. Aaron said he was very hungry all the time because he was juicing for a week. And I said, you could juice things like coconut cream pies and sausages.
Yeah, yeah, you could. I mean, it's possible, right?
You could juice anything.
There'd be a lot of pulp in it.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much juice from a coconut cream pie, but you certainly, you know, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, but it'd taste fucking awesome.
That would be funny if you went on a juice diet and gained 10 pounds. That would be me.
What have you been juicing?
Yeah, what
Steak.
Have you been juicing? I've been juicing mattresses and sausage.
Every once in a while you get a spring, but that's okay.
I've been
you just
juicing,
don't swallow.
I've been juicing pillows and the corpses of old vaudeville comedians. Imagine if juicing becomes so popular that you just the variety of things you juice just becomes endless. Like it's not just fruits
and
vegetables.
Oh yeah, it could be anything.
It's like it could be occupations. You could juice old architects.
Engineers. What kind of juice did you have this morning? Oh, an engineer juice.
I juiced an engineer, and I juiced Frank Lloyd Wright.
There's a lot of concrete in that
famous architect.
There's
a lot of concrete.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're being silly, and I can see that you're married, and I am.
Yes. The last time we spoke, which was episode 90 of this here
what
show.
What are you on? What
this will be episode 139.
Wow, so... Let's see. Let me do the math. You've done 49 episodes since I last saw you. So you do about 49 a year. Because we met a year ago.
Pretty much, man. Because it was right before Comic-Con was coming. And I was doing my first hosting gig at Comic-Con.
How'd it go?
It went fucking great.
What'd you host? A juicing thing? Or?
Yeah, it was a
Folks,
juicing,
you can
it was a
juice,
juicing conference.
You can juice the Avenger... Whatever Avenger you can juice.
You want a little Iron Man 2? Bam!
Bam! Now you're Emerald.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Oh, he's hopefully dead.
How do those chefs... You know, some chefs get huge and fat like they should, and
he's
some
just
stay thin.
No,
or
he's
stay
not
a certain weight, and like they're frying horses' heads and they're...
He's not thin, though.
No, he's not.
No.
No, he's not.
No.
I'm trying to think of a thin chef. Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay, yeah.
Yeah, who I'm not a fan of, you know. And I want to say that publicly. You hear me, Flay? I'm coming at you. I don't know if you listen to Air Raid, but if you do, know this. I am not a fan.
Oh, man. I'm so glad that you're sitting down here with me again and chatting with me. Let's talk about this juice thing for a second.
Okay.
So this is not a diet that you're on. You're just juicing. You just like the green.
Yeah.
Juice.
Well, you're gonna laugh at me, but I have gone.
I
well, not laugh.
I always
at
laugh
me.
At you, Eddie. I always laugh at you.
Not laugh at me, but people don't believe me that I've gone vegan because I even on a vegan diet, and that's why I was kind of making fun of the juicing thing. I managed to put on weight.
Yeah.
Which is I think because I eat too many carbs. But so I do try to juice. You know the flu season, and let me tell you this about the flu season. It's nothing to fool around with. You know, if I was the Surgeon General, I would be
You'd be
really,
fired. You'd
no.
be fired. If you were the Surgeon General, you would be fired.
I would be missing press conferences because I would be sick.
Right.
I'm not feeling well because it's a horrible flu season. Maybe that's the kind of Surgeon General you need to scare people
right,
into doing
right.
the
well,
right
if the
thing.
Surgeon General is sick all the time,
right.
we better get our shit straight.
Right. Ani, we better get our shit straight. The Surgeon General's sick. It must be a bad flu.
I've been sick 6 times this season.
Dude, me too.
You too?
It's been one after the other. I've been traveling a lot because...
That'll do it right there. Planes.
Oh, you know, now I'm to the point where if the guy next to me coughs, I just threaten him. Like, I go, is this going to be an all-flight thing?
Yeah.
Are you going to be getting me sick? No, because I went to Oslo, believe it or not. I went to Norway. And I swear to you, I sat down on the flight. I was just getting over bronchitis, you know, which is vicious.
Yeah,
you know?
That's really bad. That's like stuff in your lungs, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like mucus?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Gross?
Yes.
Got it.
And great. That was great medical terminology that you were using. Mucus, green, gross. I mean,
gross.
That was so specific. But a guy next to me just starts coughing, and it was an 11-hour flight. He put his tissues out, started coughing, wouldn't stop coughing. Like, can you imagine? You know when you get a bad cough, you can't stop coughing. This guy had that, and I was getting over it. And I couldn't move because it was a full flight.
Yeah.
And I just was like, that's when I looked up at God, and I was like, okay, what's up? Because I didn't hear anyone else coughing on the plane, but this guy right next to me, I was like, so you want me sick, God? Is this a test? What
are you saying?
You want me sick like the whole winter?
Please tell me you were saying this out loud.
No, no. But you know what I was doing? I then came back from Oslo, and I had a day in L.A., and then I had to go right to San Francisco for the Sketch Fest, and my ears, because I've had bad colds, my ears totally clogged up.
Oh, yeah.
And it panicked me, though.
And it feels like
because I'm an anxiety guy.
It's under pressure,
right? Yeah, I couldn't hear. And I started going like this. Now, imagine this. Imagine having a guy next to you going, hello, hello. Like I was trying to hear my voice. And I mean, I would think the guy's insane. I kept going, hello, hello, hello. And I saw people getting a little nervous.
Hey, you dropped your water.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Don't drop your water, the Surgeon General. Don't drop your water. Keep it on a level place. Boy, the Surgeon General really doesn't have a lot to say, but when he says it, it's very adamant.
Yeah, yeah. And he sounds like he's from Brooklyn.
Dude, you know what's so funny is that, you know, I've been getting a lot of reviews because of the documentary that's about me.
The Bitter Buddha.
Bitter Buddha.
Out now, right? Is it out? You can get it on iTunes, right?
Yes, iTunes and video on demand.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's in selected theaters, and we're going to do it here the 23rd in Seattle, but the Northwest Film Forum. But some of the reviews, like getting reviewed is brutal because the reviewers sometimes just take shots at, well, they take shots at my physical appearance, and then they go, one of the reviewers says, Eddie Pepitone sounds like a Bowery boy, which is, I don't know if you remember that, those old movies.
I know
like
what it
Leo
means.
Yeah. Grosser and Huntswall, it would be like, hey, wait, the toilet's overflowing there. Like a total, like Brooklyn accent. I'm not conscious of sounding like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think when I yell, I particularly sound really New Yorker-y.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. This is... Five-point plan.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I never make it past point one, but okay.
Okay, we'll make it a two-point plan.
Okay, there you go. You see,
two-point
consolidate
plan.
Your plans.
Stand in front of the mirror. First point, stand in front of the mirror naked.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then point
That's
two,
a hard
just
one.
Start yelling at yourself.
Now, how is that going to, what's that going
to
help?
I don't know. I was, you know, I'm just trying to keep up here, man.
Boy, you really backed off of that. I got a 5-point, all right, 2-point plan, and it's for nothing. Imagine that, like a self-help guy who, like, look, if you follow my plan, I don't know what the hell it means. Like, that's his whole selling point.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna burn that draft when I get home, I guess. So you have the movie coming out.
It's out.
It's totally out now.
Right.
All right. I tried to watch it today, but there was a problem with my iTunes.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. There was something up with iTunes, and I tried. Great. See, I'm kind of a lazy person, so
yeah.
I didn't email your people to get a screener.
Oh, okay.
And then it was too late, I tried to download it today, and my shit was fucked.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know,
well, hopefully
as they say,
or maybe you could come to the screening.
I want to. On the 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see it on the big screen.
I'm planning on it.
To see me on the big screen is really beautiful. Now, I mean, I think the best way to see me is IMAX, but this is only. That'd be
six
funny.
Six
stories tall of Eddie Pepitone.
Of a Bowery boy just
in
yelling.
Rumpled clothing, being angry, feeding squirrels.
Being a vegan. Yeah.
I'm being a vegan, yet I put on weight. I'm doing the theme song of being a vegan who puts
on
weight.
I've never heard that one before.
I'm being a vegan who puts on weight. We'll be right back after this. And then the other show I'm working on is the Angry Surgeon General. God damn it! Get a flu shot! I should have!
as he's laying in his hospital.
He has an IV running through his forehead.
Oh, shit.
My IVs have to go through my forehead because I have no veins in my arms anymore from all the IVs. The hell? The unhealthiest Surgeon General ever.
You ever thought of making, like, an animated series?
Yes.
I think you'd be
really
good
at that. It's in the works.
What? No way.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I mean, there's a show being pitched in Hollywood for me about an animated thing, but we'll see if it happens. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I hope it does. You've got
I'm an animated guy. I've done a bunch of animation. I've done this show on HBO called Life at Times of Tim, and it, like, New York-y kind of working class guys, and then Bob's Burgers. I've done a recurring as a deli owner.
You're a deli owner in Bob's Burgers?
Yeah, small parts.
I've never noticed. I love that show.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I've been on three, I think.
Well, Bob's Burgers, Life and Times of Tim.
I just did a weird one called Adventure Time. You know that weird cartoon on Adult Swim?
Yeah,
it's like
Adult
a bizarre,
Swim,
weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. So when you go and you screen your movie, The Bitter Buddha,
we've done a lot of that. Yeah.
Is it weird to watch yourself on that thing?
It is. Because you want to look flawless.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yes, I am a diamond, but I'm a blood diamond. You know what I mean?
You're a blood diamond.
There's a lot of pain involved. No, it is because I don't, you know, one thing about the documentary, I mean, I really, you know, I'm an egotist. So, you know.
I think we're all a little narcissist, right? Narcissistic?
Yeah, we're all not. Well, yes, we are. Yeah. But I mean, there's varying degrees. There's it goes from sickly narcissistic to just you know,
podcaster, then to
whatever the graph is,
comedian.
But I want to look good up there, and a lot of times I didn't. So you know that was hard to look at. And then there's stuff with my family.
Do you squirm a little bit when you see that stuff?
Yeah. I squirm a little bit. A couple of scenes I just don't want to watch. Yeah. The first time I view it, the whole time I just kept going, Jesus, Eddie, you're fat.
Oh, no.
The second time I watched it, I go, Jesus, Eddie, you're bald. And then I was able to watch the movie after about two times.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, you're fat and bald, but all right, now let's get into the movie now.
Jesus, Eddie, you sound like a Bowery boy.
And then I was like, Jesus, Eddie, you have beautiful blue eyes.
Oh.
Like, then I started getting into myself. Yeah, imagine that, like, after the fourth viewing, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're funny, and those eyes are gorgeous.
And you're charming.
And you're charming. You're a charmer? You're charismatic? By the end of it, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I would fuck that guy.
I would fuck that guy.
So what was it like having these people follow you around with cameras all the time? How long
was it?
Wasn't
all the time. But,
well, how long were they filming the movie
about
for?
About a year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it was kind of off and on, what, like for a week at a time or what?
No, I would say they filmed me about the director, Stephen Fine Arts, about three times a week, something like that, on an average, three, four times a week. And here's the thing, Stephen Fine Arts, the director, me and him just hit it off. So that was the key to it. Just, he's a sweet guy, smart guy, and, you know, it wasn't an intrusion, really. At first, it felt funny. But, you know, I had been on a couple of reality shows, i.e., I was on Last Comic Standing twice. Now,
that
I did not like because that's a bullshit. That was a bullshit show where they would be like, come on, act more excited. And I was like, fuck you. This I could be whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Because Steven just, you know, he's an artist, whereas the Last Comic Standing people are just all about, you know, let's create drama.
Yeah.
You know, let's create tension.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, and so it was kind of cool for me. You know, and I mean, like, again, talking about ego, it's like, oh, I'm getting documented for all time. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're going to be around forever.
Yeah. And I'm happy. I'm really happy with the movie. And the good, feedback has been really good. We've gotten really good reviews so
far. And everything that I've heard about it, everybody's been saying that's, that has seen it already has said to me that it's just great. It's done really well.
Yeah, man. I'm, you know, for me,
there's a lot of heart.
Yeah.
One guy even said there's a lot of heart in there.
One guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in his,
he's my emotional friend.
I have an emotional friend. Oh boy, that Silver Linings Playbook really made me cry. Like he cries for every movie. Like boy, Looper really brought me to tears.
Yeah, but he does it. He does it kind of. He tries to make it masculine. So he'll be like, "I was just all tears, bro. Just all tears,
bro, man. That Steeler Raven game, boy. When that shit. I mean, it was a field goal that decided it." Jesus Christ, I was juicing sausages, and they Steelers won.
God damn, son of a bitch. So what, when you did Last Comic Standing, did you know what to expect with that stuff?
No. I didn't.
Because if I remember correctly, you don't watch a lot of TV, right?
Not real. I mean, I do kind of, but I'm very picky. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, well, like everybody, well, I don't know if everybody does, but I love, like, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
show. And me and my wife watch a lot of murder mysteries. Like, we love Poirot. Like, all this Agatha Christie stuff.
Okay.
You know.
What about Law and Order?
No. I was on a few of them in New York.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard you.
Like,
little parts
of them. Yeah. But I never got hooked on Law and Order. Yeah, I know a lot of people get hooked on it, like, da-dun.
Yeah.
But it's all morose to me, that stuff. It's morose and morbid. Uh-huh. Like, America's obsession with all these cop shows and doctor shows. Like, all these cop shows, like CSI, and all these, like, Law and Order. It's all these horrific murders where families have been devastated and everybody's into it.
What is
this shit? Like, why is everybody in to all these horrific murders?
I don't know, man.
Have you seen this woman was her face was slashed 35 times by this homeless man, and everybody's like, oh, what a great show. What the fuck?
That's totally true, though.
I think people like shows
like that too are part of the a little bit I think a part of the problem, especially with this whole like gun debate, you know, where everybody's like really paranoid about somebody breaking into their house at any.
I think you're right. I think it makes people paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, not that many murders happen in the U.S. on any given day. Do they?
What? Yes, they do.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's a lot of murders. Like, yeah, in the big cities. Yeah.
Well, I guess. Yeah. And a lot of farms. Chicago's really bad, too, right?
The big cities.
Okay.
That's funny. You're like
shit. I take it back.
You're like there aren't many. You're funny. You're like an innocent. You're an innocent guy who's like there aren't many murders in the country, are there?
No, like mass. Well, not mass murders, but serial killers. Like serial killers are always in that show. But that's there's not that many serial killers out there.
No, thank
at any
God.
Given time in the United States.
Maybe you go to Brazil. Are a lot of people who want to be serial killers, but they don't have the gumption.
I just don't have enough money for a nice knife.
For a van, a windowless van, and to live on your own. Serial killers do it on a shoestring budget, so it's not easy. A lot of people don't want to commit to that lifestyle. It's a tough lifestyle. Windowless vans, shoestring budgets.
You're working on your next documentary.
No.
Well, let's take our first or second musical break here, and then when we come back, we'll be talking more with Mr. Eddie Pepitone, the Bitter Buddha himself, here at Chop Suey in Seattle. We'll be right back in just a moment. You once said that good men must be bold. We'll do what you want. We'll be right back.
violent fucking country.
I know that. But if we're talking like compared to, I'm just saying. I don't know.
Compared to Brazil, maybe.
Yeah,
not.
Brazil, like Colombia.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we, I'm not sure the per capita thing, but
yeah,
be a good thing.
All I was trying to say.
We have the
that.
Most people in prison in the world. I can tell you
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure of that.
That's lovely. Most of them on minor drug offenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you hear that they made marijuana legal in Washington?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's medical now over here.
No. It's going to be legal to smoke recreationally.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big step.
Yeah.
And they're even talking about today. They were even talking about, taking the drug charges like that that were for marijuana. Possession off of people's records.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You should be Surgeon General.
And those of you who have smoked pot, it's okay now. It's okay. Do it in the open. Stop smoking in your cars. You can't see with all the smoke. I should know. I smoke cigars in my cars, and I've hit tons of people in the crosswalk because of the cigar smoke.
And I think it gave me the flu.
And it's definitely not helping my bronchitis. Cigars and bronchitis. That's what this guy, he tours high schools, and he tells people not to, when you have bronchitis, not to smoke cigars. And people are like, no shit. Do not have a cigar when you have bronchitis. That's the best advice I can give you. And juice a sausage.
Just wait. Oprah or Dr. Phil will get him his own TV show. Yeah. So you're an avid tweeter. I follow you on the Twitter.
Yeah.
I enjoy your tweets.
Thank you.
I've even stolen one of your ideas.
Which one?
The to-do list.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you do with it?
I've started, just.
Oh, you do to-do lists?
Oh yeah. 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 I thought,
well,
you know what?
Me,
that Pepitone, he's got something going on with those to-do lists. I'm going to do that as well.
What the hell is that? But for me, I like having a form for Twitter. Like I have all these things like to-do lists, signs that things aren't going well.
Yeah.
Good cop, bad cop. Sometimes I do bad advertising slogans.
Yeah.
You know, like that's easier for me to tweet because if I have to sit there and sometimes just think of a sentence that's funny, that's challenging. Whereas when I get it into a format, I can like crank them out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some days I will, I'll do it nonstop.
No, yeah.
And then,
it's
and
addictive.
Then someday
I've talked about this before.
I dry up.
Yeah.
You know? Your brain's numb from doing all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I heard today on the drive down here, the very long fucking drive down here because of the traffic.
Did you have
tonight.
Bad traffic?
Oh, my God. It was terrible.
That's a way of life in L.A.
Oh, Jesus.
L.A., you just.
Well, it's a way of life here, too. It all depends on what time.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's probably worse down in L.A.,
I think.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. There's no murders in
you
L.A.,
You win
though.
This one, Pepitone.
There's no murders in L.A., though. Oh, wait.
Shut up.
Oh, wait. There are
I'm going to get some fucking emails on that one. I'm going to get
emails?
Oh, my God. I get correction emails all
I love people who
time.
Do that.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, but there were four Beatles.
Yeah. I was on one show I was talking about, and I don't think this guy listens regularly, but...
prick.
Right.
Prick, he comes in once in a while just to see what you're fucking up. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, by the way, Robert F. Kennedy was not killed by Mr. Hand. It was Sirhan.
Yeah.
Like he does shit like that.
I was talking about how I needed to get new clothes because my clothes didn't fit me anymore. Because I was getting up there on the scale.
Right.
And I bought oversized stuff because I always have the problem of my clothes shrinking on me.
Same here.
So I bought this stuff thinking that it would shrink up to the size that would fit, and none of it did.
Uh-huh.
And so I was a little irate about that.
Right.
I felt cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way I've been living my life for so long, and now somebody changed it,
you know,
which bugs me. But so this guy emails me and basically is like, you know, you need to get 100% cotton fabric, and that's what you should. That's what you should always get. No, no blends, and you know, and just went on in this email. So I read it online.
Was it educational?
It was educational, was it annoying? But it was annoying because, duh, you know. It's like, yeah. of course, it needs to be cotton if it's going to shrink up. Why do you think I bought 100% cotton shirts that didn't shrink?
Yeah. Right, right,
anyway,
right.
Yeah, I can see that you're just.
Now I'm taking the information in. I'm taking the information in. I learn a lot on podcasts.
Yeah.
I learn a lot about all kinds of things. Shrinking clothes, you know.
Yeah, but back.
Okay, murder in the big cities.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't happen.
No, nope. Folks, it does not happen. Yeah. You could stop locking your doors, melt down all your guns, and make fine jewelry. I would never own a gun, though.
You're not a gun owner?
Oh, God, no.
No?
No, no, no. I mean, maybe I would if I felt threatened, but I think people just feel paranoid and threatened.
Well,
and,
see, that's what my point
And they're
was.
Aggressive. They're violent. They want a gun because, you know, they did a study a long fucking time ago that if you have a gun in your house,
mm-hmm.
there's way, like, it's way more chance that someone's going to be shot, like commit suicide or all that stuff. It's proven statistically that if you have a gun in your house, there will be death in your house.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, totally.
Or a bigger chance of it.
Bigger chance, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want to get an argument with your wife and know she has access to a gun in the drawer or you have access to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Especially when your wife is like super violent, super violent person.
Honey, why are you carrying an AK-47? Just to protect the children. Did you take out the garbage?
Do you always have to have that thing strapped to your back? It's really unnerving.
Did you take out the garbage? Yes, I'm going to do it. Do it. All right, I'm going. We're watching Downton Abbey tonight, by the way, not the game. Okay.
Yeah, right. No problem. There'd be
actually,
no.
Actually, I'm really into Downton Abbey.
Are you? I love it. Yeah. I haven't even seen
well,
it.
Well, that's your loss. You're still on Law & Order episode number 555.
Shit, man.
Listen, did you see this? This guy, he slit his own throat and then he slit everybody else's throat. Did you see him? This is Law & Order. Just showing pictures. To like a bartender. No, yeah, he used to come in here a lot, but I never saw him. You sure you didn't see him? Everybody loves
it. He used to come in here a lot, but I never saw
him. Right. Everybody loves that show. Oh, I love the rhythm of it.
Love Law & Order.
Love.
I don't know what it is.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. I watch the shit out of it on Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always watching Law & Order. That and Futurama. Burgers. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm into the anime.
My wife's
stuff.
Big time into Futurama. I never got into Futurama.
Yeah.
I never got into Futurama. It's too, they don't hook me emotionally. You know what animated show hooked me emotionally was King of the Hill.
King of the Hill?
Loved King
really?
Of the Hill. Yeah.
I could never, see, we're total opposite.
We're different. You're different.
Yeah.
You like more maybe abstract. I like things with a heart. Like I loved Blind Side and. I love when everybody is fat and there's a lot of pain. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook and Looper.
You come across
the guy who cries at every movie.
Yeah,
you know,
Looper.
No matter,
ball of tears.
No matter what it is, he's crying during the trailers. Oh God, Iron Man 3 is coming out, and I'm pretty sure Robert Downey's gonna be in it again. I'm so happy. Oh God.
So back to Twitter really quick. On the way down here,
mm-hmm.
I heard on the talk radio that somebody is coming out with this app for tweets that will basically tweet after you're dead. Like you can set it up so it'll just keep tweeting your account after you have died.
Bullshit.
No, I'm serious.
Really? I would not want any posthumous tweets.
No. You don't know what they're going to put on there.
I would want no... By the way, that makes... I don't
it even makes
get
zero
that
sense.
Because...
Yeah, yeah.
What can you explain that one to me? Because what is the purpose of that?
I have no idea what the purpose would be. I was hoping that you could explain it to me.
That is hilarious, though. Like the pitch, you may be dead, but your tweets won't be. Like what is the pitch for that? Are you afraid of dying because no one will hear you, no one will see your tweets? Well, fret no more.
I mean,
we here at Tweets After Death
or whatever.
We've gotten to the point as a society where we can't even leave our social media in death. We can't leave it.
By the way, that idea is not going to fly.
Oh, I think some people will do it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. I would hope by the time you have evolved into old age, because I'm evolving into old age. I'm 54.
No.
Is that you just realize this is going to be too broad a statement, but that everything is bullshit. Like Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just such garbage.
Yeah.
Ultimately, in the big picture. I mean, it's fun to do and, you know, it's entertaining and shit. But ultimately, in the big, grand scheme of things, it's so trivial.
And if you're letting that stuff get in the way of you dying, then, I mean,
really, if that's what's keeping you from accessing God, then you're in big trouble. Like, imagine you're on your deathbed going, I just want to think of a good status update before I go.
Right, right. There's got
to
be something.
Marvin, please just go to the light. No. Oh, maybe that's it. I'm trying to go to the light, but the batteries are dead. Tweet that. And then he just dies peacefully.
That could be a really good tweet, actually. you could get that down to 100.
You know, it is so
characters.
Funny. Twitter, for me, I've talked about this before, is it's addictive. For comedians particularly, because if you think you've got something really funny to tweet out,
right, right.
What's addictive to the comedian is getting the responses, you know,
mm-hmm.
the ats,
yeah,
and seeing, yeah. and people, like, you want to be adored. That's the thing as a comic, you know. You want to be adored. So if you get that adoration, because Twitter is like having a captive audience.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, totally.
So that's the trap of it, though. Because, that's
the same thing that the people that are replying to you are doing as well, because they want you to, like, tweet back at them. They want
that's
an interaction, right?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
But what happens to me is I get, and this is the part I don't like about, you know, the addictive element, because I'm an addictive personality. Mm-hmm. It's like I literally, my brain, and they've done studies about this too, your brain gets wired differently with the internet, because you're just seeing stuff. There's so much stimulation. There's so much stimulation being online that you can't, like, fucking just step away from it. And a lot of times I'll just fucking close the computer.
Yeah.
But then the trap is you got your fucking phone on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
So it's a weird thing sometimes that, you know, like I try to, like, go into this park, and you'll see this in the movie. If you see the movie, I go into this park and feed squirrels.
Yeah.
Just to get away from the fucking internet.
You leave your phone behind and everything?
I'll put it in my pocket, but sometimes I'll leave it, but turn it off.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
I need to start making myself do that.
Yeah, people do that. People who write, you know, like, I've got to become more of a serious writer. Like, I write in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really, like, writing, like, a script,
yeah.
You got to, and I've been trying to do this discipline. You say, all right, I'll tweet for an hour, and that's it. And that's what I try to do. Yeah. I get up. I like to tweet in the morning. I get up, I have coffee, and I get into the buzz of it all.
Yeah.
It usually lasts a couple of hours.
Because everybody's so, you know, it's like, what happened, last night and everything. Yeah.
But then another thing about being a comic is that it's good to tweet, you know, Facebook and Twitter, because you're connecting with your fans, and that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a cool thing.
Oh, I think it's
very cool. And what I learned, too, is how funny people are. Like, I get hilarious things from people,
totally.
and that's enjoyable. But still, you know, it wires your brain to, like, a fucking like an experiment, experiment, like, you become like a Pavlov's dog. Like, you tweet, and then you're waiting, like, wait. It's like you're salivating for responses, and then you think of another thing, and you can like, you just said it, and I've spent days, like, you could go a whole day. The day is gone. Like, you've spent it online. After I do a day of that, I go, okay, Eddie, let's get a fucking grip.
Yeah.
Let's read a little Dostoevsky, Seizures in Russia. That's what you got to read.
Yeah, see, I get home, and then I'll start checking my email, you know.
Yeah,
because we're you know, in contact with publicists and trying to line up shows
right.
like this one.
There's a book called The Tyranny of Email. There's a book called The Tyranny of Email, and it's about how we think we have to answer every email.
Right.
And
yeah.
we have to answer it immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of answer them right away, because if I don't, I don't do it.
Exactly. That's yeah.
But it's a weird thing because everybody can contact you. And if you're like me, I want to please everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing, man. I mean,
well, you probably get way more emails than I do.
Imagine that. Like, I'm bragging about how many emails I get. Well,
how many emails you get a day?
Well, I don't want to say.
How long are they?
Well, I.
How long are your emails?
I really, you know.
I don't want to brag.
I just want to say a lot of them were pretty great today.
But I get home and I start checking all this stuff, and I've got a daughter, you know, and I find,
oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm spending a little bit too much time on that.
Hell yeah,
you know, and not paying attention to my kiddo.
How old is your kid?
She is
35.
Yeah, she's 46.
She's older than me somehow. She has that disease where she grows very quickly, only in years. She's small.
Yes, yeah.
But she grows in years. Her birthdays happen every 5 days, and nobody knows why.
No, she's almost two.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll be two.
I would imagine
in
you
May.
Just have to, you know.
Well, yeah,
not
but you
be
get
online.
Yeah,
that'd be
well,
funny. I could see you like, you know, just taking care of your daughter with phone in one hand and your daughter.
Yeah.
I hope that isn't true.
No,
honey, Daddy loves you. I just want to respond to this one email.
I got this great tweet in my head, hon. Just hold on, and then we'll play. Mm-hmm. We'll have a tea party in a moment.
Your tweets are always about alienation between father and daughter.
Why does it? Yeah, I tweeted yesterday. Why does my daughter love me?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you, Aaron.
It's been great to talk with you.
Thanks.
I look forward to seeing The Bitter Buddha.
Yep, it's on iTunes.
Yeah.
Video on demand, The Bitter Buddha. Please see it.
Wonderful, wonderful. And is it going to come out like on DVD? Can people get a hard copy of it yet? Or
I'm not sure when that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you are going to do that.
You could follow at The Bitter Buddha on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And it has all the info at Eddie Pepitone on Twitter, stuff like that.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, because EddiePepitone.com. I would really like to hear your commentary over your documentary.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. That would be funny.
All right, Eddie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's see. Let's just end it right there. Done. Well, there you have it, folks. Our chat with Eddie Pepitone, the Bitter Buddha himself. Such a lovely person, isn't he? Isn't he? He yells a lot. I worry about him. I worry about Eddie. I can't say enough about his documentary. Go and check that out, EddiePepitone.com or on iTunes. And yeah. Yeah, you know, buy it, because don't pirate something like this, you know. Guy's a great dude, you know, what better way to spend a couple bucks, $5 rented on iTunes. See The Bitter Buddha, it's fantastic. There you have it. Oh man, thank you guys so much for listening this week. I hope you guys have a good one. Let's see here. We're going to go out with the song called Sheets of Diamonds, which you already heard just a little bit of there, by this band Onslow, which you can check out, onslow.bandcamp.com. I believe they're also on Facebook. Wonderful band out of Boston, Massachusetts, I believe. If you're listening, you guys, thank you so much for contacting me. I'm really digging the stuff, really digging this music here by Onslow. It's weird, right? It's right up my alley. I like that heavy, the fuzz. I love the fuzz in there. It's kind of like a Zappa-esque a little bit, but more understandable. There you go. Zappa. It's like Zappa, but more understandable and poppy. It's like Pop Zappa. Understandable Pop Zappa. That's what it is. That's what it is. Out of Boston, Massachusetts. Onslow.bandcamp.com. Go and check them out. Please go to iTunes, rate and review the show. We could really use your help, folks. And stay tuned next week for co-creator of The Walking Dead and artist Tony Moore, and also writer of the My Little Pony. The thing with all the bronies, Katie Cook. Katie Cook is going to be joining us as well. She also writes and draws for LucasArts, and she's got some great stuff, some great, just good things to say about the upcoming Star Wars movie. So, anyway, you're going to want to tune in next week. I know you will. I know you will. And then after that, we've also got, we've got some great guests coming up. Telekinesis is going to be in the house. Talking about their new album. Boy, just stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned. All right, this is Sheets of Diamonds. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.